about to say. Gotcha. Okay.
But when we did the Clusterfuckapalooza or Casterfuckapalooza, the first thing that, like, my first interaction with Josh, I sat down. He's like, and I said, I don't even know what I said, but Josh's like, no swearing. And he just, like, looked as on, like, as earnestly, like, keep it under control, dude. Yeah. And I was like, who's this killjoy? And I, like, did my 15 minutes and moved on. I was like, geez, I'm done with that cast. And then, like, yeah, I was just like, oh, that's, I guess that was just a bit he was doing.
It probably was a bit I was doing. That, or, like, I just recently been taken to task myself for it, maybe. Yeah. So,
like, everyone must
that
suffer.
Yeah.
I love curse words.
Yeah. God. Did you ever CID the battle engine where you got to bring back like 18 dudes a turn?
No.
You should have.
I was like, I was aware of how the battle engine was supposed to work upon first reading.
Yeah.
And then people were like, I'm pretty sure the way it reads. And I'm like, I'm pretty sure
that is the way.
You're an idiot.
No, like, that is that is the way it reads. Primary Press is the idiot.
Yeah. I don't know how they screwed that up because it was exactly the same on Old Witch.
On Old Witch,
/3.
And that's how I was just like, yep, no, I know how what they mean for this. Like, they don't intend for me to bring back like a 63 guy's turn.
But mom.
Yeah. I mean, the thing is, all it does is bring back small base dwarf models. So even if I did bring back 63 guys a turn, it still would barely make that battle engine playable.
I think it's
if you literally were like, print 20 points.
Yeah.
20 points. Yeah. Nah, it's not.
But because it's not actually printing 20 points. It's like 20 points of, it's 20 points of dwarves.
Yeah.
Which in like exchange currency is like, yeah. I made you 2 points. Like, here you go.
You should be able to poop more gerns.
Are you? Well, like, also, all the
times you're like, I made 12 Forge Guard this turn, and the opponent's just like, sweet, I turned on every attack in my army that couldn't hurt like my. Like,
are you?
Hey kid, Toys R Us bucks don't work.
Exactly.
They need to sell a conversion kit that's just the very top of the throne of blight, Everblight, where it's like a giant sphincter. And that way you can glue it to the back of your battle engine and then like have the dwarves coming out of the butthole.
Yeah.
That'd be amazing.
The cloaca of
the
dwarves.
Cloaca. Yeah. That's how they're born.
That was like the whole, like, so I didn't get to read the actual rules for, like, I was working like a super long day, but like I could check into Facebook on occasion and I would see like people would just be like losing their shit.
Poop.
Yeah, losing their poop. Losing their poop.
It's funny.
Over this dwarf battle engine. They're just like, it's insane. It's off the charts. And I was like, I was getting kind of excited. And so then I finally read the rules. And I was just like, it's the same, except it makes D3 Forge Guard a turn.
And got like plus 18 health.
Sure, but every battle engine got additional health. Like, like a harder to kill pile of crap is still a pile of crap. Like, I don't. Yeah. We can talk about it more,
dude. But in the idiot like battle engine battle, you like crush them because you got siege,
no,
your siege weapon or whatever.
It's the conquest of, like we talked about this last night, Nigel and John and I. It's the conquest of battle engine. Like it's crap until another battle engine on the table, and it's like the best battle engine.
Yep. The I think it's pretty good though.
It's a great piece for Osram Hammerstrike. It's like one caster, one theme force fits.
I think they fell a little short.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I mean the notion that it's super powerful or like crazy.
Well, it was when it printed out 63 dudes.
Won't make it through playtest the way it is. Like, yeah, it totally should. It should actually probably get a little better than it is.
It should work as originally worded.
I will throw out there for... Oh, by the way, Musing and Amusing, welcome to Muse on Minis. This is all of us.
Yeah, podcast 111.
Yeah.
111?
412.
666.
311.
Oh.
This is
611. Oh, geez, 311, the worst band ever.
It's the KKK, dude.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, I'll throw it out there. I have not seen the Dwarf Battle Engine on the table in its new version. When I saw the rules, I was like, meh. And like I was talking to people who were like, oh, the Dwarf Battle Engine, and I was like, meh, I'll wait to see it on the table. Like my initial brain theory crafting is didn't have enough offense, didn't gain any offense, don't care.
Yep, that's relatively accurate.
But I might be wrong. I might be wrong. So I will wait until I see it on the table.
It still does the cover thingy, right?
I've played, like that. But that only works with Osram because Osram actually makes it so that your guys can like base to base it behind it. Yeah. And then you actually gain the cover from it, and you can charge out and move through it. So that's sweet.
Wait, Tactician works with
Can they get all the way through
Yes, they can. Yeah, Tactician works with anything that's Rulic, regardless of base size.
Oh, that's very weird.
No, it's great.
Yeah, it's just weird because every other Tactician's like, Osram dude, like this. Yeah.
Yeah, Osram is actually an absurd caster at this point. And it's not Tactician, it's like Martial Discipline or something now. It changed.
It's Tactician.
Is it called Tactician? Yep.
Yeah, they got
Martial
Discipline. Yeah,
yeah,
exactly.
Okay, that's what it is.
But anyway, that's my confusion.
Osram is actually like so far beyond the other two dwarfs in Mark III, it's sort of absurd how good he is compared to the other two dwarfs.
Yep.
Particularly, like, Hammerstrike was just like, here's some stuff you wanted, like, you know, plus some super sweet stuff. He's like,
can
awesome.
You give up Ion on Holt? He's like,
yep.
Yeah,
I can live without Ion on Holt or Ragman. I can make that work. And he's like, I get Kara Sloan for free every turn with reload. Okay. Yeah. I can probably make that work then.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, them printing this or putting this battle engine the way they did is just, it's just like, Gorton's like, yeah, that does nothing for me. And Durgan's like, well, I guess on my feet turn, it's okay, but I don't want dwarves. And
right, I'm gonna address one more point about it so that it doesn't come up as a we never mentioned this, but battle engines are gonna get a lot more popular, and it does have the Siege Bruster rule.
So that is the deal. Is if 60% of my matches are against huge bases, it doesn't even need to be battle
Marauders.
Engines. If 60% of my matchups are against huge bases, then the battle engine is relevant. But it's only relevant in Osram Hammerstrike unless that happens. And this battle engine.
Well, I mean, it's only relevant in Osram Hammerstrike because only Osram is relevant for dwarves, and he's going to play Hammerstrike.
Right. Osram is going to play Hammerstrike, and the battle engine, he makes it work. Like,
yeah,
in all
might
ways.
As well play it.
Like, yeah, like, he can actually gain the benefit of Roadblock. He can, he wants the dwarves anyway, so, like, most mercenary casters are just like, I get D3 small base dwarves back a turn. I didn't want to take any of them, so no yeah. thanks.
But in Osram, like Nigel and I were talking about the revive because it is the worst version of recursion. Like
it's the worst version of recursion if you had to pay focus for it, but you don't. So it's not the worst version of recursion.
Sure,
but,
sure. But
yeah.
I mean, the actual
well,
text
is,
of
because you have to bring back dwarves.
Yeah, right. Yeah, that's fair.
But like, good targets for it are. Members of the artillery unit, if
yep.
they've been,
oh
they've
yeah,
sack bond,
no. I'm super waiting to just up. Like both John and Nigel have, I think, are starting to get dwarf artillery corps PTSD. Like yesterday, I did 24 damage between a one fire for affected and one unfire for affected artillery corps to a reckoner against John. He's yep. just about flipped the tables.
in one activation?
Yeah. I did 13 with the fire for affected, and then the other guy rolled like 6-6-5 or whatever and did 11 damage to
right.
Yeah. And it was just like completely crippled a reckoner to the point where it was essentially irrelevant from the two artillery corps. And if I actually have the focus to switch fire for effect, that's actually not too far off from what they.
And it might even be possible that
do.
Tactical Arcanist Corps are not unusable if they revive.
They're cute with it because you can build, again, this is Ostrom only. You can build like a kind of sweet little cloud wall bunker, which I was doing against John in our second game last night, where you put a cloud on either side of it, and then there's the actual leader of the attack is directly behind the battle engine, and then you've just built a like 5-inch base plus 2 3-inch clouds that nothing can see through. So Osram and the artillery corps and maybe some forge guard are hanging out back there, and then the forge guard and all that stuff can like charge through. Osram can like stranglehold through his battle engine and other stuff, or like, you know, fire off his hand cannon or whatever through the battle engine. So it's. It's cute. They can still kill. It's not like amazing because they can kill both tack, and then the one tack that's in the back like moves up and makes a cloud, and then you only get a cloud on one side. But it's still, that's still pretty good amount of real estate. So they're not the worst when you can bring them back, they're just closed to the word.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
But they have some flexibility, again, with Osram. That's really, like, this engine, it literally doesn't, I've been racking my brain trying to think about ways to make it work outside of dwarves. I was like, oh, maybe Ashlyn and the Tack, and she has, like, distractions, so it can actually hit with its guns, kind of, maybe, but she can't see through it. And yeah, it just,
we're talking about Ashlyn in a world where Ashlyn doesn't want to be,
right? Yeah, it's just like, I was like, well, what about Magnus One? He's got like snipe for it. He can make it arm 22 and 40 boxes, so it can sit in zones. But I'm gonna tell you, arm 20, 40 boxes is great, but it's essentially a Kador Jack. Like, how many Kador Jacks survive an opponent being like, I'm gonna remove that Kador Jack this turn, Nigel?
So,
like, do you feel like the average list can't kill one of your jacks regardless of what it is, if they can get to it?
No. Like, do I feel the average list can't kill one of my jacks? What?
Right, that's what I'm saying. Is like, if you, the average list that you go up against, does it have a real hard time removing one of your jacks in a single turn?
No.
Right.
That's why it brings 10.
The Siege Engine is exactly the same way. It's essentially a yes, it has six more boxes than a Kador Jack.
It depends on, I don't know. It depends. Like, and people choke on it.
It's bigger, so it's actually even easier to hit at def 9. Like, John managed to bring it to 8 boxes in a single turn from full with a Reckoner shot, 3 Redeemer shots, and 3 errant Weapon Master charges.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it's just, or sorry, 2 Redeemers and a Reckoner and 3 Weapon Master charges. And I mean, if that's soaking up a good amount, but that's like from range in a single turn. Like, it just, the concept that 40 boxes is like, oh man, that's so much on arm 20. It's not that much.
The good thing about 4 boxes, where like a Kador heavy is brilliant, is like there's almost no one heavy that comes up and kills it. Like, people, a lot of people assign something 3 focus and they think it's like, oh, I'm just gonna go kill this heavy,
right? The average POW 18,
they almost always fall, yeah, they almost always fall short, even POW 19s, sure, sometimes even the POW 20s. Like, the
but you chip with a couple boosted shots and then you charge with that heavy and then
nothing should be able to survive 5 activations worth of like focused output, you know, like output designed to do damage to heavies. So if people put like 3 to 4 things, then sure, there's nothing in the game that should really survive that. But like the one-on-one is where it's really nice, like, because a lot of times I force people in matchups where it's like one Reckoner walk up to my one destroyer and my one destroyer is actually, like, not only is he not dead, but he's fully active, you know? So it's like, uh-oh.
Sure. But we're also talking about a 5-inch base that has range 10 and 12-inch guns.
Mm-hmm.
And they're not that good offensive, like, output. So either you're, like, talking it way back to make
point cost D3 is commensurate with the amount of pain in the ass it is to kill. Like, it's 15 points. It's, a lot of heavies are like 18.
18 points.
Oh, it's 18 points?
Yes.
Oh, 18 points. That's like a Grolar, and it gets killed exactly the way a Grolar does.
Uh-huh. So except, like, it doesn't do the damage output that a Grolar does.
But it craps out dwarves, dude, and it shoots stuff from all over the place, and it gives cover.
Would you trade off the Grolar's offensive capability to make D3 Forge Guard a turn?
Well, I would do it to make D3 something else a turn.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Exactly. Yeah. So its survivability is good. It's not like, it's not going to like fall over and die to a stiff breeze, but if the opponent wants to remove it, they'll remove it.
Mm-hmm. Sure. Like, it's, and that's, I think that's okay for a battle engine.
It's okay.
I think they have placed it to the point where it will get played.
Yeah. It will get played and Hammer Strike with Osram.
Yep.
And Snipe is great.
I mean, a few other people will randomly put it on the table, but they're wrong to do so.
And we've said it before, one list is enough. Like, that. That makes the model good.
The question is whether or not it's really that much better than just another full unit of Forge Guard for him, or like a driller and something else. And like, is it worth it for me to go out and spend $120 or whatever it is to buy a Siege engine, or should I just play more Forge Guard?
Sure. That, I mean, that's a personal decision.
No, it is a personal decision, but I feel like that's also a...
It's only $95 to discount games.
To a certain extent. Well done.
Yep.
To a certain extent, that is part of the design like quandary that they're facing with the battle engines. They want the battle engines to be played. I mean, I intend on actually writing into the CID for this one. Mm-hmm. I haven't done it for most of the other things yet.
Yep.
But this one I probably will, just because I don't think it's in a good place.
What?
I think that they would be better off designing a battle engine that worked for more than Hammer Strike Osram. Like, if they want it to be played on a regular basis. Hmm. And like I said, maybe if we legitimately do see a world where 60% of your matchups have a huge base, then maybe it changes.
I'll be right back.
But yep. That's pretty much the only way I see it changing.
I haven't been able to play the Kador one yet, although I'm excited about it.
It's just the same. It just gained a ton of boxes, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's 36 boxes.
It's the same cost. Yep.
Same cost, yeah.
And they were just like, have 16 more boxes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I can tell you from my experience with the Vlad Rockets list that if my Battle Engine had 16 more boxes in every matchup I'd ever played, yeah. I don't think I would have lost a game.
The number of times that I've played into your Battle Engine and been like, I got to kill this thing because it is wrecking my face.
Mm-hmm.
And then I've like gone in on it to kill it and come up, like managed to kill it, but like, just,
yeah.
You know, it's like that last activation got it. And I'm like, phew, thank goodness.
Yep.
And like, if it just had 16 more boxes, it would be the most hopeless feeling in the world. So yeah. I'm really excited about that.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah. Yep.
And it's really weird that
I'm thinking I'm going to have to siege break it.
Yeah. I'm not excited about that, but it's good. That stupid siege breaker plus your two artillery pieces probably just four shot it off the page.
I feel like, because it's arm 20, right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So we're talking like dice off 6 on the artillery core, fire for affected. So that's 8 points a piece. So that's 16 points. And then dice off 5 boosted is another 5.5. So that's another 11. So it's only 27, Nigel, from the siege breaker and the two artillery core. Statistically, that's only 27. You still have 9 boxes remaining after they fire at you.
Thank God. And then it still has to survive 2 boosted 12s from
the gun bunnies. And then maybe like a blaster shot or a boosted Osram hand cannon or something like that.
Yeah, that's rough.
God, yeah. It's so hard to comprehend the changes to the battle engines because you never saw the old ones like at all. You're just like, wait,
that's why I feel
this
like
does a thing now.
Like most of the battle engines that received little except a boost and boxes still will not see play based just on that. The one that may is the Menoth Battle Engine, just because it still uses boxes to boost its damage rolls stuff, right? Yeah. So that's just like, it just got like a ton more free boosts that you don't, which seems pretty good.
The Menoth one didn't gain a ton of boxes. Like, it didn't get the huge.
32. That's like a lot. 12.
Yeah. But it
because it had like, no, it's
it
like
had 10. 22. It's 10. It's 10. Yeah.
Yeah, because we
it
all flipped out 20, that
it used to have a 24.
Was it 24?
It had a 24. Higher number because it used them to boost.
Yeah. Yep. So it gained 8.
Yep.
So that one, maybe it'll. I was talking with John. He's like, I'm not super excited about it, but maybe the extra boxes.
I would be excited because, like, you put Defender's Ward on it. It was like, well, against Purrier, he put Defender's Ward on it, and it made it pretty miserable to deal with at its 24 boxes.
Yeah.
And then he had to, two mechanics behind it. So they're going to do the same thing. D Ward puts it in that really just in difficult to deal with situation.
I do love the TEP literally got zero change.
Yeah.
Exactly zero change. Yep.
I thought it got boxes.
Nope. It's 22
boxes.
No,
it got nothing.
They're like, we need to play to the... God, they're just like middle finger to all convergence players forever. They're like, you haven't had anything new or interesting in 4 years. Continue to be that way.
No change.
They're just... Yeah. I feel like it's some sort of political crapping on DC's legacy strategy.
Yeah,
probably.
I mean... Yeah. I have a local convergence player. He's starting to get really irritated that, like, it's been so long. Mm-hmm. Like, it's...
Yeah. No, I mean, and I know that there's probably plenty of people listening right now are like, well, they said that you wouldn't get things new that often. But, I mean,
yeah, it's been 4 years.
There's a difference between, like, you get a release a year and not getting a release for 4 years.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like, that's a pretty big difference.
Like, the actual only release that they've gotten since the original release is the new Battle Engine, or new Colossal, which is actually just garbage.
Right.
It's just unplayable.
Yeah.
Trash.
It is not unplayable. It is actually quite good.
It's not better than the Prime Axiom, right?
Well, that reversed quickly.
Is it better than the Prime Axiom?
In situations, yes.
Okay. Fair enough.
Like, there are elements of it that are dismissed, because Nathan plays it a lot.
Wait,
so
is it even actually out, or just the rules for it are out? You can buy the kit for it?
Apparently.
Yeah, okay. That I didn't know.
There are elements of it that are dismissed, which are actually more powerful than are given credit for.
Mm-hmm.
Like the fact that on its melee attacks, it spawns D3 power 10 electrical damage rolls. You think, oh, that doesn't matter at all.
Right.
But it does matter when it's got its servitor down and they become POW 12s, or if they're harmed and become POW 14s. All of a sudden, it's adding like 3, 4, sometimes 5 extra damage per melee attack, and then you go from killing one heavy to 2.
Okay, I can see that.
Its side guns being beacons is quite strong, and its primary gun being a significant damage source is very different from the Prime Axiom. Like, the Prime Axiom is its main power is in making your opponent's play around drag.
Right.
The Conflux actually just shoots things to death with a power 15, sometimes 17 primary cannon. That's range 15, 17 with Directrix.
Okay. Fair enough.
Have you seen it played much outside of Directrix?
No, why would you play it outside of Directrix?
Okay.
But it only takes one.
Mm-hmm. I suppose.
No, that's true. It does only take one.
It does only take one of 5?
I only take the battle engine with Vlad. That's one of like 12.
But you would take the battle engine with other.
Yeah, you.
No,
like, when this change happens, it's.
I would literally only take it with Vlad.
If you could still sack pawn to it, you would take it with all casters.
If you, well, yeah. If you
could have 40 boxes, you're like, hello, my caster has 60 hit points.
It's only got 36 boxes.
Whatever.
Whatever.
Yeah, only 36. It can still be one rounded by shooting.
Siege crawler has 40 boxes.
Yep.
Yeah. Speaking of other depressing things with the word siege in them. That Animatrax.
What? I thought it got better.
It did. I mean, yes.
So that's
get better.
I haven't had a good opportunity to go down. Like, the Meat Thresher looked like it didn't get good enough.
I've always thought I want to see the Meat Thresher played because I've always thought it was kind of awesome.
Oh, I've seen it played.
Oh, really?
It's not good.
Because it's like bulldoze, brutal damage on melee attacks against like everything it touches, and it bulldozes in and just
Wait, when did it get brutal damage on everything it touches?
It just always had it.
Wait, what?
Yeah.
It always had brutal damage on its melee attack?
It had trash.
It has trash.
Oh, and so when you knock them down.
But it knocks down anything it touches. So if you hit, they're knocked down, and then it trashes you.
Okay.
I always thought that was cool.
It has...
And bulldoze. It's the coolest model, basically, since it's cooler than Strakov 2.
It essentially has the problem that you run into with impact attacks, which is just like, I didn't kill that one guy. And then it just, like, stopped.
Okay.
But
it had a huge base.
But bulldoze solves that problem because it kind of pushes
them all down, right?
Yeah,
yeah. So it doesn't auto knock them down. You still have to hit them.
Oh,
it's not just like I bump you, you get knocked down.
Okay. Well, Nigel's just like anything it touches, it knocks down.
Well, by touches, I mean you have to roll to hit and then touch it.
Okay, so it's actually garbage then.
What?
No, it's okay.
Just like I thought when I looked at it.
Bulldoze helps it do what it needs to do, which is it pushes 2 or 3 models, so it makes a perfect like 8 guys on its front edge. Knocks them, you know, even if it knocks only 7 down, and then kills them immediately, and then the gun shoots at last guy, like, get out of here.
I feel like...
Also, it gets boosted attack rolls, right? Against most targets?
Yeah.
Against small and mediums, yeah.
Oh, geez. Oh, here it's starting to... It's real crappy.
Oh, so, well, that's new, right?
No,
it's always been the case.
Oh.
Yeah, I've always thought it was, like, pretty good. Like, if I could take it, I would take it. But instead, I could just take the dwarf one.
And it didn't work very well.
Hmm.
The only... The substantive changes to it are only that... its gun changed from being 2d3 hand cannons to d3 plus 1 of the burst fire shots.
Like the Scorn style shots?
Yeah.
Right, the 13, 14, 15 shots. So its gun got arguably, it was a side grade, but in a lot of situations better.
Yeah.
And it gained like 10 or 12 boxes.
Yep.
Okay.
And then that's about it. I think those are the substantive changes.
I think it got cheaper.
It might have gotten cheaper. I don't know.
16 points, and I think it used to be like 18, but
possible. Any so I haven't had I focused on the Siege Engine, and I looked at a few that I was like, these were like borderline playable before. What do they look like now? Mm-hmm. Any for you guys that have looked through all of them, Keith? I assume you've gone through pretty much the whole thing. Any standout winners in the group?
Cricket.
Yeah. I did. I did see the cricket, and I was just like, "What? Are you kidding?"
I don't like, understand why.
It's like if you sacrifice to aim, then get 3 abilities. Like, what? I wanted to do that anyway.
Well, it already does that, but that it does. It already does like 2 of those 3 things, and then they were just like, "Just get +2 damage to all your attacks." Right. I guess, and I was like, "What?"
Well, also, it doesn't. Like, it doesn't get a
and have carapace
and get a second shot. Right?
But, it used to always do that. Yeah.
That was
Wait,
always
what?
There.
It did yeah. that?
So the
it
only
always
changes,
had dual shot. It had
so the aim. Only changes to the cricket were, there were 3 changes. When it aims, it now gets +2 damage, carapace, and -1 armor. Those are the 3 changes to the cricket.
Okay.
And up 1 point.
and up 1 point. Yeah, I played an illegal list the other night.
They actually did change something else. But it's very subtle. Let me read it again.
Carapace makes it what? Arm 22
against guns.
22 against guns. 24 under Discordia.
And free strikes.
Oh, that was actually... I was like... I actually think I might just rather have the 19 armor, oddly enough.
Oh, no.
No.
No, no.
What?
Yeah.
What? Why?
Because it never dies the guns anyway.
Carapace is an insane ability.
Yeah.
Guns was the only way it did die. Yeah. It can't be charged.
I've only ever killed it with guns.
You haven't been playing against enough gun lines. So.
Yeah.
Okay.
I mean, it's tough versus guns, but it doesn't have the hit points of a heavy, and it's got the same armor as a heavy, even with Discordia. So you just kill it with guns, because it's still half the work.
What's but that, like 30, 32 boxes?
24.
Now, yeah, 24.
24? Yeah. Oh, yeah. If it didn't have carapace, it would evaporate.
Yeah. Even at armor 21 or 22 or whatever it was.
19.
Yeah. Well, 21 with Discordia.
12, 21.
Yeah. That gets... Get out of here. That's like six of my 12 rockets.
Yeah.
Perfect.
Man, I might not even need to switch fire for effect over to kill
exactly,
that guy.
Yeah, exactly. That's an easy camp five turn for Osram. But yeah, Carapace puts it in
It's very weird that they changed this, because I thought it was actually... When they bumped it down from 18 points to 16 points, I was like, cool. Mike, now we'll see play, because it's not in direct competition for a Warjack that does like the same abilities. Mm-hmm. And yeah. Now
they're, oh, man. That,
apparently it's not seeing enough. Put more stuff.
I had heard a rumor of a rumor that it was going to be brutal damage on aim, and I'm actually almost glad it isn't, because now it's the same wording as choir, so I got plus two power on my AoE shots.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Or plus two damage on my AoE shots, so it's like that nine blast damage, I think. Yeah. Pound nine blast damage.
Yep.
Oh,
it's pretty smexy.
It's being Jack Marshall.
I guess when it being brutal damage, or with it being plus two damage, like, I now might, for the first time in history, shoot the Destructor shot, which is like, you're literally, it always had three shots. It was a momentum gun, which is POW 14,
yeah.
Or rough terrain, like 4-inch AoE rough terrains, right? It was one of those two. Yeah. And then the third shot that literally, like, very rarely happened was just like, I'm just a POW 16. I was like,
But now it'll POW 14 knocked down 18.
Right. So it's like, but why would I still do that when my momentum shot's POW 16? Like, just
when you knocked them down at the first shot.
Yeah. Well, you just put a POW 18.
No, you just knocked down two things.
Maybe.
Knock them all down.
Sometimes you don't need to knock down two things.
But sometimes the Banshee already knocked one down.
Yeah. Sometimes you just want to put a pair of 18s into something, Grump. Because they'll give things dead.
Yeah. Yeah,
I did. I got a chance to play it, and I was quite impressed. It was into sort of ideal circumstances. It was into a circle list, and I was just knocking down heavies and blasting them apart all day, and it was a lot of fun.
What's its rat?
Seven aiming
so
nine.
A nine. Yeah, that's pretty gross. It doesn't ignore stealth, though.
No.
No.
The troll one's boring. The circle, Legion.
The War Wagon only got extra boxes, right?
Yeah.
Yep. Yeah, the War Wagon and the Fun Carriage only got boxes.
Yeah, well, the Fun Carriage was already actually good, despite the fact that some people weren't playing it.
Yeah.
The War Wagon.
Yet again, the Hordes ones still have the same problem of, like, I need to bring War Beasts in order for, like, my caster to function. Mm-hmm. Like, it's less relevant in Mark 3 than it was in Mark 2. Yeah. For, like,
About clear winners, there's the Cricket and then the Fulcrum. Of course.
Yeah, Fulcrum was amazing.
Did it get really good?
Does the thing that it probably should have done from the beginning, which is you can steal Fury from Wolds. So it can have up to three Fury, and it just pulls. It leeches Fury. And... Yeah. So it used to be the worst, because it was at the start of every turn, it would gain a Fury, and then it would have a max of three, and you could boost however you want.
Right.
But that is atrocious, period. And then it's even worse if you go second, because you're like, I have one less Fury before engagement happens.
Right.
But now it's like Fury management for your Wolds, I guess.
Sure.
Which is sweet.
Yeah.
But
your Warcaster can put Fury on it, or Warlock can put Fury on it as well.
Yep.
Yeah.
Can he
leech from it as well, like the Creel Stone or anything? Or
I don't think it's a vault. Oh, I don't recall being a vault. It's like I don't know.
What?
Maybe I'm wrong. Maybe he can vault off it.
Can your Warlock leech from the...
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
So that's pretty good. That's super good.
I think so.
For some reason,
well, let's double check it.
It used to be able to do that. That's why I'm wondering.
The other thing I wanted to say, you're going to see two Wold Weirds and Fulcrum in a lot of lists, I think.
Yeah.
possibly even 2 and 4.
Yeah, 4 World Weirds all day.
Oh, the last thing it did is it gives friendly black clad models just +1 to attack rolls.
That's pretty nice, yeah. Too.
That's disgusting.
Which is most of the casters.
Is it really?
It's like four of them.
Is it four?
It's Kruger, basically.
I was going to say Kruger and Mosar, right?
I don't think Mosar is technically typed as a black lad. What? I know Kruger is.
How is Mosar not a black lad?
Look, because they don't know how to type their dudes. You know this. Like, Taryn De La Ravisi is technically like...
She's Lely's.
But she's not typed as Lely's.
Yeah, she is. She's Lely's. Okay. She's Lely's.
There was a while where she wasn't, though,
no,
right?
She's... I mean, in Mark II, maybe.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah. She's Lely's.
No, I guess. Oh God, they put part of her... way more of them are black clads in Mark III than
yeah.
Mark
it's
II.
Most of the cast.
Sorry, in Mark II it was like literally like 2 or 3 of them.
Okay, yeah,
but yeah, now it's
not in Mark II, Nick.
Keith. I feel like in Mark III almost everything has a type.
It is everybody but Wormwood,
uh-huh,
and Cro-Mac.
Okay,
and Grail, that pile of garbage.
Well, that's because he's a wolf.
Yeah, that's pretty.
So it's just +1 to all the other casters. That's pretty insane.
Like, also, it's not just it's spells too. It's just like attacks.
No, I mean that's yeah.
It's like good job, idiots. Bet that doesn't come through CID.
God, that's gross. I'm just Kaya.
Jesus,
what?
That she's a black clad and it's just +1 to attack rolls.
Oh, I mean, just like with Kaya out of nowhere.
Well, because she does like the whole flank assassination run, so it's like an extra +1. I've actually seen her like whiff on her stupid flank slot.
Yeah.
So like. Yeah, it's interesting. I don't know.
No, this is not bad.
Yeah, that seemed pretty good.
Yeah, I was just like, yay, druids are coming back.
Wait, hold on. Is Cassius a black clad model? He is. Yeah.
So it's really
not the caster, but like the dude just goes and punches it.
When he attacks, he just gets +1.
Yeah.
Yeah, with the sword.
Yeah.
Get nice.
I'm trying to think of where that's super dumb. Nah, yeah. I don't know.
Nowhere in particular. But it's just it's nice if you're going to make magic attacks. Like, most of those casters have pretty solid nukes.
Magic 8 TKs are pretty good.
Yeah. And you know Epic Kruger is going to take that guy anyway. Since
yeah, exactly.
He's like, gun line, yes, please.
Yep. +1 to hits, +1 to hit, brah.
God, that's...
Wait, does it say to other?
It just says black clads.
Is it a black clad model?
It is.
So it gives itself +1
to hit. It does say
other. Okay.
But if you brought two.
That's true.
Boom.
Well, I don't know. Does other mean not
it
this
means
model?
Not this model.
Okay.
It means yeah. It's like yeah. Double battle engines.
Why not?
It's a possibility.
I mean, it being Rat 7 is probably like pretty sweet.
Sure wish Siege Crawler was Rat 7.
Yeah. Well, mine's only Rat 7 when I take two of them.
I'd take two if the Siege Crawler was Rat 7.
If they like jerked each other off,
I wouldn't.
But yours has 3 fury every turn.
This is true.
Oh, man, if you took two and they could space dock, though, and, like, make super dwarfs, that'd be pretty sweet.
Just try to get medium-based forge guard.
Yep.
Yeah, man, I'm
pretty sure I would flush that model right down the toilet.
I might go back into Circle because I, like, bought a battle engine and never played it ever. And it's a pretty gorgeous model.
Well, there you go. All right, so you were gonna like crap on the Siege Animantrax. So why were you gonna crap?
Oh,
on
just because it's. I was gonna make the point. Remember when they like buffed it into space?
Yes, the Mark II.
So
buff
that way they could like literally sell all of them,
yes.
And then they're like, "Gotcha!"
Yeah, and they're like, "Ha ha! You thought you got boosted bot guns?
That was the first Mad Dogs.
Well,
actually, it was worse.
Although its gun actually got better in the transition to Mark III. So
it did. My favorite thing about it is the super depressing like. In the odd event it gets to take a free strike, it only has the option to take them with its like little weak spears rather than the club.
Why can't it take it? Because
the spears are reached, the tail is one.
Oh.
You don't leave its melee until the 2 inch.
But the tail has back arc, right? So or am I thinking of a different model?
No, that's not a thing anymore. No. I don't know. Reading this is hard. Like it's very.
I feel like at War Machine Weekend we need like an imum. In memoriam or whatever video, like montage of all the like broken lists that have gone like died last year. Lists we've lost.
Let's just do that at MomCon.
Yeah, just
let's just make it. What ones have we lost? We lost Mad Dogs, Una.
Una, Mad Dogs.
Anything that had Linus and Adrea before Mark III.
Mm-hmm.
the Siege Animatrax.
Uh-huh. Yep.
Ion and Holt. Mm-hmm. Just have a paired grave.
What? But Ion and Holt work just fine. I don't understand.
Get out of here.
They are the same as they ever were.
If only. Crow-craters.
Crow-craters.
In the arms of an angel. Far away from here. Yep.
I mean, epic lich, yeah, Denny.
I will make that for our closing ceremony. Like, I'll just be like, and now a moment of silence.
So just, just play. There won't be a dry eye in the room. It'll just be like just tears everywhere.
And then like a sad puppy. Yep. Just throw a couple of them in there.
Just, yep.
Oh, you need Bradigus, of course.
Yep. Oh, God, oh, yeah. Yes. That guy got
Bradigus.
Freaking obliterated for some reason.
Mm-hmm. Well,
I don't think
for some reason.
It was the theme.
For all the reasons.
Yeah.
I don't know. He wasn't really dominating anything by the end of Mark II.
It's true. The only problem was the theme force. And then they took it away, and then they're like...
And then they're like, theme forces are the only way to fly.
Oh, yeah. Elemental evolution or whatever. Oh, my God. Somebody good. What?
Just warders.
Yeah, warders.
Oh, my God. Yeah, we definitely should make this. I mean, it's... Every troll what thing, I'm just going to put a picture of, like, angry Chad in the corner.
Yeah.
So a picture of Chad, then.
Yeah.
Yeah, just regular old Chad. Yeah.
Take it off of Facebook.
Oh, my God.
So, clear loser.
I'm building a circle list, and I'm excited.
Is the TEP even a loser? Because that battle engine was so over-the-top insane, right? The fact that they didn't do anything negative to it?
Yeah.
It's weird. So I've noticed this trend in CID where it's like, why aren't they trying things? Like, we know the TEP is mostly okay as it is, but while all the other battle engines are getting such love, like, why not give it 5 health and see if that, like, ruins it? It's right now it's another one of those models that I see in Directrix quite a bit, but not really elsewhere.
I thought every once in a while played with Axis quite a bit.
Every once in a while with Axis, but, I mean, he's been taken over by Galvanizer spam.
Okay.
And that's largely because it is quite weak to melee. It's armor 19, I want to say.
Yeah, I think so.
That might be right. That sounds right.
It's armor 19, and it's just got that, like, 22 boxes that battle engines have always had. So it's interesting while they're adding... It is by far the easiest to kill battle engine at this point.
It'd be cool if it had, like... Mm-hmm. Yeah, I don't know.
But it still probably does... the most work of any battle engine, even after CID, right?
Probably.
I'm not sure.
You think the circle...
Because I haven't seen a lot of the others played, like, there's... the Fulcrum is truly terrifying, how much work it might do, plus its support abilities, and the TEP does not have any support abilities.
True.
Yeah, I didn't realize, because upon reading the rule, I didn't realize you could actually feed it with your caster. I just thought it was like, I can only pull from wolds, and I'm like, I guess you're restricted to taking some wolds in your list then. But then I'm like, oh, wait, the world weird that just made bonkers good for some reason.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah, there's no reason to not have at least two in every list. And then.
Yeah. No, there really isn't. Yeah. I don't actually understand why they were just like, bow 12.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I was pumped when they were just like, in Mark 3, they were just like, it gets it 3 shots for free. And I was like, holy crap, I'm going to play this thing sometime. And then they were like, also make it bow 12.
Hmm.
A bunch of them just sitting over in China and gotta get them to market. But yeah, that, like, I always wanted the Celestian Fulcrum to just, like, leech from Wolds or something in addition to its like, as some consistent way of generating fury. But yeah, that thing seems bonkers now. Magic 8 Blackclad sprays. Yeah,
it doesn't do as much work as the Fulcrum with its guns, but it can be close. And because it's like a lot of times with the Fulcrum, if you're just looking at one target, the 3 boosts is going to be actually fairly similar to the 3 placements that you get as far as straight output. Because the TEP or the Fulcrum guns are like pow 14, 12, 12. Is that right?
12, 10.
14, 12, 10.
Yeah. So it's a range 8 pow 14, range 12 pow 12, and then a spray 10, 10.
Oh, the spray is only pow 10?
Yeah.
Sounds
No, they upped it. Was it always 12? Anyway, 15, 14, 12. Holy crap, they upped the range on this crap, too. Jesus. They went whole hog on this thing.
Yeah, they went...
Wait,
yeah.
One of its guns is pow 15?
Yeah, so that one was always pow 15, but it was only range 8 back in the day. Now it's range 11.
Range 11.
So it might do, in some situations, it might even do more work than the TEP.
Yeah,
and still be a monstrous support piece. So I think the TEP could have gotten a little love, honestly.
Oh my god, the Fulcrum just... There's no way this thing makes it through CID the way it is.
Mm-hmm.
Sorry, I'm literally reading it and it's just getting more stupid.
Mm-hmm.
Like,
so you're back on Zirkle then? It's too good? It's no. Too obvious? Oh, no. You're going to go back in there?
No.
You're making that list?
No, because I want to buy two. Yeah. So I'm going to wait.
Oh, you want to be on the next memoriam next year?
Yeah, exactly.
Just picture Crump and his two battle agents.
I'll just like hold them as boobs.
Yep.
These boobs.
You actually might be on there twice with the the cricket also.
Power 14. Wait, what am I? Was it? Maybe this thing just got better. I swear to God.
Did it get significantly more expensive or something?
No, and I swear in Mark 2, the Flame Blast was range 8, but I might be going crazy. Like, I swear the guns were like range 8, 12, and 10. But in Mark 3, apparently they've always been 11, 13, and spray 10.
So as I was saying with CID, like I mentioned it last time around, they didn't even try the random turn times. They didn't even see if people would like it. And the same thing here with the TEP. There's like no change. It's like why no change? Like, well, we're testing random things. Like, why not take a look see?
It'd be cool if they put like electrical damage on it somewhere, so like that Colossal has more value.
You know, the absolute worst part about this is it's not that much of a conspiracy theory to be like, well, of course it didn't change. It's probably the most sold battle engine. So there's no need to move it.
Oh, I mean, this isn't a conspiracy theory. This is obvious. They've made the statement that they got it handed down from corporate that 50% of lists at tournaments are supposed to have battle engines.
Yeah, but I'm just saying
they literally have said that.
Yeah, but the TEP is
wait, that was literally
said by not Pagani but Will Schick, that they were told that they expected 50% of tournament lists are supposed to be theme forces, and 50% of tournament lists are supposed to have battle engines in them.
No, 75%.
Where was
theme.
This?
It was said before this latest round of CID.
They didn't like come out and announce it like an insider. It was just something that was said at a convention.
It wasn't
like,
said
it was
at a convention. He posted it in the forums.
Oh, he did?
Yes.
Oh.
He said this.
Oh, whoops.
Like this, the Battle Engine CID is a hand down from corporate sell Battle Engine.
Yeah, but why not the TEP? Because the TEP's already sold.
Because
so then they didn't do
sold.
Anything.
And
exactly.
Because Convergence is a niche army anyway.
Just like Grim King
you could boost TEP through the roof, right? But you have a limited number of sales that you make off of that because you have a limited number of Convergence players.
Well, not really, because of War Machine is literally like the flock to anything like vultures. So as soon as you make something broken,
to a certain extent, that's true.
Less so than like just due to the cost prohibited.
Cost prohibited plus like it's not like every single player. There's like 10 to 15 well known players that will play whatever is hot right now.
Yeah.
So you'll get Keith, and you'll get like
Tom Guan,
and you'll get like
Dan Sammons will literally
Dan
come out of retirement.
You'll get
broken.
You know, you might get Jason.
I gotta get people
you might
boot.
Get Jason Watt. Watts maybe back, yeah. Like you'll get like 10 to 15 guys, but that's I don't like
Jay Larson. You'll get him.
Yeah, you'll 100% get Jay Larson. You'll get Jay Larson this week and like 3 weeks later after he sells it and then buys it again.
Yep.
So, yeah. you get a double dip on Jay.
Yeah, the in memoriam is like half of it would be Jay pictures of Jay.
But
it's just
I don't
happy
actually
Jay, sad Jay.
I don't think that actually represents like a large number of their consumers. I think plenty of people will like collect a side army or whatever, but I don't think that the like flock to the flavor of the week represents, because it's the same thing in Magic. They didn't care that much about like appealing to tournament players for sales, because tournament players would just like,
they're the very small portion of the sales.
Yeah. And I think
same with War Machine.
In War Machine, I think the casual player probably still like I think in any game the casual player makes up the base of the market and your sales.
And I wouldn't even say it's that they don't care in either MTG or War Machine that they don't care about the tournament scene. It's that they don't care. They certainly don't care about any particular tournament player or set of tournament players.
Right.
Because it's like their opinions don't really matter. All that matters is that the tournament scene exists to keep for there to be something for the casual scene to look to when they want to.
Yep. Nope.
Because
that's 100% right. Yeah. Wizards would always say like when they design cards, they literally didn't think during design about like, oh, we need to, you know, they talked about the Timmy and the Spike and the what, like these like, oh, I like to play big creatures. I like to play combo. I like to play control or whatever. And so they would think about cards for those archetypes, but they never thought about like, oh, there's a tournament player
all
out
the
there.
Interactions.
Because the reality is what a tournament player does is that they find the strongest thing that is available and then they play that. Like
right.
Whatever it is. It could be bad garbage cards, but if they're the strongest garbage cards, the tournament player.
Oh, did you see they just like
that.
Emergency banned a card for the first time?
I did
time in,
see
like,
that, yeah.
Since Skullclamp?
They emergency banned a 1/4. Did you see what it is?
Yeah, I know what it
okay,
is.
Okay, yeah.
I literally, like, that has been going on for like 6 months, and it occasionally pops in my feet because I still have Magic Fronts.
What I love is that they banned the 1/4 creature instead of the Planeswalker because Planeswalkers are so important
more, yeah.
to them,
yep.
and they make them so much money that, yeah.
No, I thought it was...
Even though the Planeswalker is the one that has the abusable ability. Like, yeah, yeah.
Has that happened since Skullclamp? Like,
that they emergency
like,
banned a card?
Yeah, yeah, where it's like...
No. I don't think so.
So, since we're here, may as well explain why the what it did and why the emergency ban.
So it was a 1/4 creature for 4 mana that had, when it comes into play, you pick one of your permanents and then
blink it
off the table and then put it right back in. Yeah. And there's a Planeswalker that like costs 3 or 4 mana, and she has an ability. She starts with like 4 loyalty, and one of hers is -2, like put an artifact copy of a creature into play. And then it gains haste, and you have to get rid of it at the end of the turn. And so you just, like, make a copy of this 1/4, and then you would blink her out, and then just be like, make another 1/4, make another 1/4, and
yeah,
just do
just,
it.
You get an infinite 1/4s with haste.
It was a 2-card infinite combo.
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah. 2-card infinite combos probably shouldn't exist.
Yeah, no.
In general, yeah. Definitely not standard.
Yeah. Yep.
Definitely not the 4-set format.
Right. Not one that you can go, like, 3-4 and cast it.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, when I saw that, I was like... No, this will probably get banned, like, in the next ban cycle, and then it didn't.
And then
it was
didn't.
Just like, wait.
And then they were like, oh, we wanted to, like, yeah. Anyway, I mean, this isn't cogent to War Machine or anything, but yeah. Yeah, I did see it.
I was like, man, this doesn't happen very often in that game.
No, they're pretty good about not doing that, but... I mean, the reality is you can be an amazing designer and you're still going to make mistakes.
Yeah, but they're on like a 1 out of every like 15 years.
Right. Not 1 out of every 8 battle engines.
No.
So, yeah.
That still blows my mind that it's like, yeah, we're buffing them because we need to sell them. And that's what we're going to tell you.
Yeah. No, I mean, that was like straight up. He's just
I hope in the thread somebody links like the actual thing to that because part of me is
like.
That
sounds insane. I almost don't, without seeing it with my own eyes, I honestly don't believe it.
Yeah, I mean, that's fair. Like, when I read it, I was just like, what? And then I was like, I guess I'd rather he just say it. Like, that's fine, I guess.
Yeah, he tells the truth. He tells it like it is.
Well, I mean, like, it's not up to him. He's told what to do by his bosses, you know? Like, and the battle engines need to be better, so...
I mean, I guess as long as like, the result is good, I don't really care what the initiating cause was, but it's still a little disheartening.
No, it feels weird. It feels like bad thinking about it that way initially. But
feels
then
dirty.
But then I was like, you know what? It's not like it's a big secret that Privateer Press is a company and their goal is to make money.
What?
Right? Like, that's not a big secret. So let's not pretend like that's a secret or that it's weird or gross for them to want to do that. So... As long as what they're doing is like, what models aren't selling, let's make them better.
Hmm. Yeah, because they're
that's
not.
That's fine.
Yeah.
If they're like, what models aren't selling, let's make them better. Now they're too good. Let's nerf them and make this better. And that's what I was worried, like Mad Dog into Marauder. And like, I was disheartened with the game for a period. But then like the latest like rounds of CIDs and the score, I was like, okay, no, they're taking it seriously. It seems like with Pagani on board, like they're really trying to develop the game as a competitive game again. Mm-hmm. Like this is all good. I feel good about
this. They're trying to make models viable rather than...
And so that's why my very first reaction was like kind of panic when I read this statement, but then I was just like, no, this is fine. Like there's nothing actually wrong.
It's basically admitting the company goals,
right,
which is underlying obvious all the time. Like,
right, exactly.
Nobody makes a car without the implicit goal being to sell it. Yeah,
yeah.
So it's like, of course. So as long as, you know, it's like a Venn diagram. So like in design, when you're like making a website, you have like a Venn diagram. What's my goals? The company goals, make money, attract customers, blah, blah, blah. And then the customer goals,
get
cool stuff, save money, blah, blah, blah. And some of those are, you know, one group wants to save money, one group wants to make money. So there's at odds.
Right.
And then you overlap those two circles and figure out what your common ground is. And then you windmill slam it. so that you end up getting what you want and they get what they want. And then,
right.
And that's basically what, that's all they're doing. It's like a right. standard. Everybody right. should always do this all the time.
Right. And so, like, I don't, everyone wants to put their battle engine on the table.
Yep.
Like, yep. you just do. Like, it's like,
even people who don't own one are like, wish they had a reason to buy one. Cause right. it's like, a lot of times they like, they look cool or it's an interesting element that could do weird things, but it's always like, oh, well, just, I wish it was
when
better.
They
like,
it's objectively worse.
Yeah. When they announced the battle engine CID, I was like, well, there's no way they can make the siege crawler worse. So maybe I'll actually end up buying one.
But then they like, did because it just craps out more dwarfs.
Yeah. And then they were like, we'll actually buff it into worseness. And I was like, damn it.
Now I have to buy high shields. You're like, no.
Haha, I have a unit of high shields from Mark One.
Damn. I actually have two units of high shields.
That would have been the true genius if it only resurrected high shields.
Yes.
I actually sort of thought it was going to.
Also, Keith, it doesn't resurrect them. It literally creates them. Stop.
Also, yeah. they could have left it at, like,
it does only resurrect them.
They could have left it as D3 to each unit if it was only high shields.
They could have.
Just like, I'm going to take 10 mini units of high shields. Your opponent just rolls over you anyway.
Would have been utterly brilliant.
It's like, you go for it, bud.
People, the weird thing about that, if it did that, though, you would see it being taken, like, in a Fiona list.
I'm not... it's just like, for the double tap affliction.
Double black, yeah!
Crapping out tons of dwarves and rotating affliction.
Yeah. I'm not going to lie. Like, I saw the battle engine and I was like, I was trying to work out points. I was like, I could do this and get with some high shields and get the free high shield UA. And then, like, are high shields bad if three of them die and I can bring it back every turn? Yeah, they're still bad.
I like how the circle one literally gives the entire faction plus one. It's Eye of Menoth for circle.
But the Kador, just a hit.
But the Kador one can't give plus one a hit for Winter Guard. Come on.
Or be set upon to by the caster.
No.
I mean, come on.
Come on. And like, I don't even have a Winter Guard caster. There's not a single Winter Guard caster.
Why doesn't it poop out D3 Winter Guards a turn?
I would also take that. Yes, Krupp,
it's
that
literally
would be cool.
A carry.
Exactly.
Yeah.
I mean, do you think the Winter Guard are better than dwarves of any variety?
No, they're clearly worse.
Oh.
In every way.
No, Krupp.
They're cheaper.
Yeah. So
yeah,
less value.
Yeah, don't
ergo
remind
less
me.
Less valuable, right?
Don't remind me.
Also, is it... Didn't they sneak in a CID for undead too? Like mech thralls went down to 8 points.
There's a bane CID or something going on that I have paid zero attention to. Right, Keith?
Oh yeah, I guess we could talk about that. Oh, I forget the details.
We should talk about the Crix one because it's actually a pretty drastic change in like
the battle engine or the
yeah because it actually like
all right, Crump, lay it on us.
So it's still got a depressing number of hit points for like the melee one, and its defensive stats are still like garbage. But it's still incorporeal, still has, like, Cleave and Darkshroud and
so
stuff.
So what are its defensive stats and its melee boxes?
It's speed 7, mat 7, def 12, arm 18, 24 boxes, which is very
20.
Very low when you're 12, 18. So
it's corporeal.
Like,
can it still be corporeal? So, like, it can't
But it's more the it goes in and then it just literally dies to a stiff breeze.
Sure. It doesn't
Well, it goes in and then a scar feats on it.
Right. Right. So
like not all battle engines are built for all casters.
This is
in fact,
true.
No,
The siege crawler sure isn't.
But
we have to context this in that the Wraith engine is one of the few battle engines that was already being successfully played.
The interesting thing that it gained at some point is while within 8 inches of this model, friendly faction undead models get +2 arm against ranged and magic attack.
Gross.
So it makes Bane Knights like armor 18 against guns, which is
They brought back Beyond Death.
No. But Beyond Death didn't really apply for. Beyond Death still exists.
Yeah, you still have to.
Literally, he still does that.
Wait, I thought it was like a really short range or something.
No, it's still 9 inches. No. But
what?
That's only. You have to be in Derek Wraith's 9 inches for that. This gives all of my friendly dudes +2 arm against guns if they're within 8 inches of the battle engine.
Wait, Derek Wraith, Beyond Death, in Mark II, Beyond Death, I had to be within 9 inches?
Yes.
Yeah.
I felt like I was always within 9 inches.
Because it's
right.
9 inches.
It's 9 inches is huge.
And he's really hard to kill. Yeah. And then you finally kill him and he's like, oh, my horse is dead.
So what you're saying is it's the same as Dara Wraith.
No.
No.
But it has a different rule.
It's so Discordia times 9/11.
No, it's literally deceleration.
Yeah.
That's it's good. Deceleration for undead models. And that was traded for +2 armor to incorporeal models is what it used to be.
That seems like a good trade.
It was a very good trade.
Considering most of the incorporeal models are also undead.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. In fact, all of them in Cricks are.
No, sometimes God, you stab please. A dude and then you turn incorporeal as a blood witch.
Please wait, Mitt Widowmaker's FA2, for the love of Christ.
No!
Yes, FA2.
Make Kel Balrog's FA4.
Widowmakers aren't FA2?
No. I don't know why.
Even in the theme force?
Even in the theme force.
You can still only take the one unit of Widowmakers?
Yep. It is stupid.
Actually, it's not, because it'd be absurd if there were eight of them.
They just get blast damage to death. No, yeah. No one would ever combine that with Eris 2.
Yeah.
Yeah, okay.
Also, that jack that makes things immune to blast damage.
If they're touching it. Which is
Why death, wouldn't they be
Which is a death sentence, because then they just Thresher bait.
What?
Everything would just come up and Thresher and get the beast, get the jack and them, and then they're just screwed.
Okay.
Yeah.
So, I'm not gonna, you want to anyway, pay 16 points to give
that,
guys
Gareth. Is that essentially it for the Wraith Engine? It just got changed.
Yeah, so but that's huge, right? Because everyone's like, Bane Thralls are crap because I can't deliver them anymore.
Wait, does it boost its own armor with that? Does it decel itself?
Is it undead, this giant thing?
It's just okay, so while within 8 inches
of it boosts its own armor.
So it's arm 20 versus against guns. It's actually arm 20 versus guns.
Yeah.
So that seems fine.
And
that,
incorporeal.
And incorporeal.
Yeah, that seems totally fine.
Yeah, but it's now just like, oh, look, you can deliver all the things.
Yeah, that's good. Mm-hmm. That's good for Craig.
Also, Bane Knight's got +2 armor.
So they're
Wait, like, period?
18?
Wait, Bane Knights are just armor 18 now?
They lost Vengeance, gained Wall of Steel.
Holy
Wall of Steel is the base-to-base +2 armor.
Yep.
So they're arm 20 versus shooting. That's pretty good.
Yep. Yep.
Yeah.
And then the Bane Cavalry gained Vengeance and...
Lost 2 armor?
No.
The old switcheroo.
Possibly just gained Vengeance? I don't know. I'd have to double check.
Okay.
Man.
Let me pull that up.
That makes Bane Knights seem real good. Like, better than Mark
So they're speed
good?
5, arm 18, POW 14, reach?
POW 12.
POW 12, but brutal charge.
So POW, God. Yeah.
Can I just get FA Widowmakers 2? Come on. Or 3. No. Or tier list that just goes FAU.
Just take Widowmakers and Kel Balrog. That's basically FA2 Widowmakers.
And the Marksman.
And Marksman.
That's
yeah.
So many points, though. That's a Grolar.
Is that almost the points of 2 Widowmaker units?
It's actually probably one point more,
right? Yeah. Lame. So there you go.
Okay,
and then also
so,
add an Iris. There
man,
you go.
That seems just Bane
Here we
Knights
go.
Being armor 20 is just gross.
Hit me with it, Keith.
Bane Knights. Yep. So they are still ghostly, still undead, gained Wall of Steel, lost Vengeance. So just like I said. Tartarus got cheaper. Bane and Riders. That's right. They went up to mat 7 from 6 and lost Curse.
Okay.
And gained Vengeance.
They
so they gained
inch.
Still the 1-inch reach, yes.
Okay, so
still
seems,
power 13 brutal charge.
So seems like a not significant change.
Basically, Crix went from a Lamborghini down to a Cadillac, back up to a Porsche.
No, I actually think that Bane Riders might see a little bit of play because Vengeance is actually it's a good rule to have on cavalry specifically that are immune to free strikes because they're still ghostly.
Yeah, sure.
So they get jammed in with their charge and probably are under, say, a Scarfeet or something equivalent to make them, or have just an armor spell on them, because several Crix casters have armor spells, get beat up, and then they can Vengeance backwards, maybe take a couple attacks, and then get that second charge that is so critical to making cavalry function.
Okay.
So maybe. I'm not, like, saying for sure. Also, the losing Curse and up to mat 7 is actually an accuracy increase for them because, yep. Of course, they are still affected by Tartarus's Curse.
It is. I'm just not 100% certain it matters when you're cavalry. I mean, obviously it matters, but yeah, sure, for impact attacks.
Primarily for the impact attacks,
yeah,
right?
Sure.
Primarily
like, boosted
for the,
6 versus boosted 7
yeah,
is
yeah.
Like, jerk
it's,
it off.
Yeah, and, it doesn't matter. Yeah.
Bane Warriors... formerly Bane Thralls, of course, just got cheaper. Both the base unit and the officer and standard, they're down to 15 instead of 16. I think it's a 1-point reduction. Hmm. And the officer down to 5 from 6, I think also just a 1-point reduction. Mechanithralls got their defense back and got cheaper. They're down to 5-8 for a full unit.
Okay.
Hmm. And then Brute Thralls, no, just got the defense.
Those all seem fine. Like, nothing earth-shattering, but a little bit of a bump.
Definitely see a lot of Bane Knights starting to come
Bane,
out of the woodwork.
Bane Knights seem... That one seems like a significant change.
So, keeping all that in mind, and then there's the Bane theme force, which is for every 20 points of Bane, blah, 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 one solo or attachment free, including Tartarus.
And Derek Wraith?
Free Tartarus is pretty dumb.
Currently. It sounded like people were trying to convince Souls to put Derek Wraith in there, and he was like, maybe. So, it might happen.
No free Derek Wraith.
You'd probably have to pay for Dara. Precedent has been set that you have to pay for your Dragoon.
I don't have to pay for Stannis Brocker. He's not a Dragoon, I guess.
He's not a Dragoon.
I don't have to pay for the red one, I guess.
I mean, no one should have to pay for Stannis Brocker. That's my true. General. Yeah. Like, both in terms of points and dollars.
Mm-hmm. I think I spent $5 on mine. Value.
More relevantly, all Bane models / units gain Prowl, and before deployment, you get to place 2 4-inch dense fogs.
Holy crap. Wait, all Bane models, like including casters?
All Bane models / units gain Prowl. It's only Agathea, but yes, technically she also. A
Tartarus, though, Prowl?
Still has stealth, but yes.
Yeah, you double dip. You double dip that.
Yeah, get in that cloud. Get double stealth.
Double stealth.
Sure, your true sight lets you see through one stealth, but does it see through two stealths?
Yes,
it does.
I don't know if Banes are back, but that's an interesting theme force. There's definitely some defensive elements to it. They've gone to some lengths to make, just to add a lot of defensive options for Krix. Because the Bane Riders are also now coming up field under the effect of the battle engine, our arm 20. It's the same as Arcane Shielded Stormlance. It's very hard to shoot to death.
Yeah, I mean, I could just imagine a list that has, like, Tartarus, handful of Bane, like a min unit of old Bane Thralls, and then, like, some Bane Knights, and a Wraith engine. Like, that seems like a decent list.
And I didn't talk about what's allowed in the army, but it's not surprising. Warcasters, non-character Warjacks, Banes, Machine Wraiths, Necrotex,
Battle Engine,
Scarlock, Soul Trappers, Wraith Engine.
No, Kane Spooge Pistol Wraith.
No, Kane Spooge Pistol Wraith.
Aww.
Right.
He's in the other theme force.
Oh, right.
For free.
Okay, for free. That's a free 7 points. That's pretty good.
That's a free used napkin.
Yep, that's right. Oh yeah.
Classic. So, yeah, I don't know. I'm
It seems reasonable.
Yeah.
Yeah, the break-even point, I've been playing a little bit of Steelhead Cav with P-Magnus lately, and Death Ward on them, bumping them up to arm 19. Like, that, the break point on Cav with their 5 boxes seems to be about, like, 18 to 19 armor. Like, at that point, they actually, like, survive long enough to get their points, maybe. So, yeah, being armor 20 coming in under the... And then
20 with it, and that's just... That's caster agnostic.
Right, exactly. Yeah. So that seems pretty decent.
Yeah, I don't hate it. I don't hate it. And I worry a little bit about faction identity, because it doesn't feel Krix, right? To have a Bane Knight brick coming at you under was essentially deceleration.
Right.
That doesn't feel Krix to me. Like, I'm supposed to lose models coming at you.
Right.
So I'm not sure.
Yeah.
But. I think it's like the rules seem fine, but I worry about faction identity.
Yeah, no, I feel you. But if you can wave Banes, I mean, that's really what you did before.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. Like, are they? Can you?
And the Bane, like, so it would sort of play like the knights and the riders would be in sort of the brick formation, and then you would use terrain to keep your warriors in stealth as much as possible.
Yeah.
With your 2 clouds that you place and anything else you can do.
Yeah.
I don't know. There's probably something there.
You guys,
do we want to talk about Steamroller week 2?
No, screw that. We got to talk about Brett.
Did they change anything?
They did. Just a couple things. They sort of listed out and clarified some of the, like, measuring things. I don't think that's really any different.
Please not go there.
Yeah, that's fine. And then they reduced the number of objectives down to 3. So now,
that's right.
Now your choices are one model within 4 inches gets fire continuous for their first attack. one model within 4 gets magic weapons, or Warjacks and Warbeasts base to base heal D3 in your maintenance phase.
Yeah, they took out the ones that I thought were interesting and just left the ones that I thought were kind of bland and boring. But it was interesting because I read some of the posts from, I think, Hungerford talking about the intent of the Steamroller. Mm-hmm. And I'm paraphrasing and I'll probably get lit up for it, but my takeaway from it was the objectives are supposed to be boring and uninteresting, and it's supposed to be virtually impossible to win on scenarios.
By the way, I would actually...
I was with you until the end part. I'm not sure
That's almost a direct quote. I'm going to go look for it.
Okay. He said that half of them, so there's like, what, 6 scenarios? He said the first 3 were like live, based in descending order, so it's like 1, 2, and 3 are live, 4, 5, and 6 aren't.
So this just literally confirms what I don't want to happen in the game, which is scenario drives slow, inevitable death.
I've played 3 games with the new Steamroller CID, and I felt like 2 of those I had live scenario play, and 1 of them I didn't.
Really wish that.
Well, to clarify, when you say live scenario play, did you mean that you believed you could legitimately win on scenario if you were playing for that objective, or that the scenario was simply forcing action?
I won on scenario in 2 of the 3 games.
Before your opponent was entirely neutered?
By the time I won, like, I had effectively defanged his army, but he still could have had, like, an assassination run or something near the end of the game.
Yeah, I kind of want them to just 86 all the, like, this objective does this and this, and just literally have a vanilla dude with hit points.
I actually feel like each player should get 3 objectives to place, and they don't do anything. And if you kill an objective, you score a point, and you can put them wherever you want on the table.
I just
like when you're deploying. Mm-hmm. Like, I don't understand why objectives work the way they do. Like, I understood why they worked the way they do in Mark II Steamroller, but now with this new Steamroller, I feel like they should be just things you go kill if you want to go kill them.
Just, mm-hmm. like, with them getting rid of half of the, like, interesting ones, it's just like, well, every TO, literally every TO in every tournament at, like, everyone's turning in their list, and they have to send, like, 6 lists back because people forgot to write down their objectives.
It's yeah. Well, I think going down to 3 makes sense. Like, there's no reason for there to be a whole crap ton of them. And I also agree with the idea that they shouldn't have very powerful abilities. Like, no one should be designing their list like, oh, and then I'll have this objective and, like, you know, 4 out of, and I'll be able to make great use of it. So I'm going to take, like, this and this. Like, I don't want to see that. Like, that doesn't make any sense to me.
Sure.
So here's the exact quote. We would like to address the concern that 2017 scenarios feel less live or harder to win than previous iterations. This is the intent, period.
Yeah, but I always felt like when I first read it, it seemed obvious that was the intent, but I don't think it's the intent as in, like, they don't want people to win on scenario. I guess my takeaway is they want to lessen the impact on the game of elite tier control casters, because how they typically win the game is by forcing you out of scenario over 2 turns, and by actually making it so that they can't do that, then you lower their power level across the
board.
There
basically aren't any left.
Haley too can still do, or could still do it under old Steamroller. I think she has a much harder time under new Steamroller.
Yeah, and all you need to do to make that is make them wide. Like, you don't have to make it's the scoring system that weirds me out, because it's, I guess the rest of that quote is, the days of racing to 5 CPs are gone and have been replaced with a scenario system that is intended to promote engagement.
Oh, yeah. I mean, so I don't necessarily think it promotes engagement any more than it did before.
Yeah, it's exactly.
It's the same as far as that's concerned.
It's just removed a win condition from the game, which seems weird to me.
There are a couple scenarios where if you don't act proactively, like in my game against John, he didn't have a list. Last night, he didn't have a list that could, like, proactively come into, you know, like, in a lot of each, you and your opponent basically get a scenario zone that you can score every turn and get a point, and it's totally irrelevant, you know? But there's often, like, a second zone that you can score if your opponent doesn't come after it proactively. So, like, in scenario 3, Packet, we played whatever the 3rd scenario is last night, and essentially I was able to, the nature of his army made it so it was hard for him to come across and get, like, that sort of pseudo-contest zone, and I was able to just kind of keep scoring it over and over and over again, and that's what allowed me to win. One, he still had like three light warjacks and Tristan and
choir and whatever,
by the end of the game. So, and we'd whittled each other down pretty well, but it was just a sort of steady. I mean, that's the other thing is that because of like if the game goes to seven turns, it's whoever's ahead. I guess time is just whoever loses on death clock, isn't it? So that doesn't really factor in.
It even goes on. Games in 2017 are typically won by either assassination or your opponent clocking, or more commonly winning the battle of attrition. Our intent is for players to either kill their opponent's caster or to weaken their army to such a degree that they lose their board presence and begin to lose on scenario. The mercy rule turn 7 limit basically means that once you've beaten your opponent to the point they cannot meaningfully contest, blah blah blah. To state this more directly, our intent is that Steamroller encourages playing the game, not the scenario.
So they're basically
saying, well, then why do we have even more than one scenario?
Right.
Like, if the whole point is to just make... Yeah, there should just be one scenario, if that's the intent.
I think you need the multiple scenarios so you can't reliably tailor your list to a specific one. You know, like... And that's why they're also varying degrees of live and so on and so on, just to sort of keep everybody on their toes.
I will say that I do like... Something I do like about the current Steamroller scenarios with the varied zones and flags and who can control and contest is that it does help to favor... mixed composition armies.
Mm-hmm.
I played against Gar playing a semi-scorn brick with like one small unit or whatever, and he definitely struggled in our matchup because I could score like everywhere, and it was very difficult for him to score more than like one zone or whatever.
It also causes exposure. Like, so say you take six heavies, like he had, he's got to throw two just kind of to the task of going out wide to like make sure that the zones don't run away from him.
Right.
And then... They're either exposed and picked off, or they're just not contributing to the main battle.
Yeah.
So you like armies that are lopsidedly built like that have problems a little bit.
So I guess I see it. My in summation, my takeaway is it's currently kind of a mixed bag in that I like the sort of effort that, and maybe it wasn't intentional, but I read it that way, of attempting to lessen the effect that control casters have over the flow of the game. And then also I like the idea of favoring mixed composition armies for the purposes of scenario play.
But it's just Epic Haley, so why just not nerf her again?
Because they could what's the Fitzgerald quote? Families are always rising and falling in America, right? Like that's basically also the truth of control casters and War Machine. Like there will be another one.
Yeah, Gorshade 3, maybe. That guy's sweet.
I guess, did you guys not talk about that stuff last week?
No, that literally happened on Thursday, and we podcast on, like, Monday and Tuesday.
Okay. All right. Well, I mean...
We're not gonna make it to that stuff tonight.
I mean, we could sum up Brad in, like, 2 minutes. This is mostly crap.
Nice job, PP. Oh, the other change to in the CID for week two, Keith, is kill box is 12 inches from your backboard edge, period, full stop, no sides.
Mm-hmm.
It wasn't sides before, was it?
It was.
It was.
Yeah. It was 10 inches all four sides, and now it's 12 inches.
Yeah, you could kill box yourself on your opponent's deployment.
Yeah. Now it's 12 inches. It's 12 inches... Your backboard edge, and you can only kill box yourself on your turn, at the end of your turn.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't.
Less live.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It matters a little bit more than it did at 10 inches, I guess.
Well, it also, I mean, I feel like there's actually probably more board real estate for you to put your caster in now that there's no sides, right? So.
Yeah. That was actually occasionally, like, in the heat of the moment, I'd brain fart and forget that kill box was, like, on the sides. Because, like, your caster rarely
gets within 12 to 14-ish inches of the edge.
Yeah.
I mean,
especially, like, halfway up the board. You're just like...
Yeah.
Yeah, whoops.
Yeah, I think the new environment is still a paradise for casters that just want to hide.
Probably. Which is weird, given that their statement is like, we want you to end the game by killing casters.
Yeah, it's not going
to
happen.
We want you to grind each other to death until Severius 1 gets in melee combat with P'Haley.
Just grind?
Once people get over their... desire to keep their caster in that like close zone that you get sometimes. Once that gets trained out of people, the assassinations are going to go way down. I'm pretty sure.
Probably.
And this is like, especially considering that one of the biggest complaints that I've heard repeated throughout Mark 3 is, "Dear God, guns are too good." This Steamroller does not seem good for removing that or doing anything to fix it, because that was always the driving impetus against gun lines was scenario. And so reducing scenario pressure just brings up guns.
Yep, that's for sure.
Yep. That's why I hate most of the new, or some of the new.
So that's why there's just a number of elements about the intent, not even the execution, just the intent of what they're driving at that perplex me.
That is
probably, to return to a dangerous topic, that is probably my greatest issue with the measuring thing, is that they've gone from an elegant rule that was simply stated, you can measure anything at any time, to a page and a half of very hard to understand complexities to limit that in a competition environment, just purely for a competition environment. Like if I'm playing my game down at the shop, I can still use any number of proxies because the core rule book doesn't tell me I can't. So it purely in the competitive environment that it seems to limit competitive options. And that intent makes very little sense to me. The same way as the steamroller, some of the intent to like remove a win condition and all the other things that we talked about, just that doesn't, I don't understand that intent. I read it and I understand what it means. I don't understand the why of it.
That is one of the frustrating things about the CID so far. And that doesn't mean that me being frustrated by some aspects of the CID doesn't mean I'm anti-CID, I'm pro-CID, but the sort of way that it's handed down where it's just like, here is our intent for these things. I don't care what you have to say about that. We're not listening to it. Just tell us how it fits within our intent of this. It's just like, well, sometimes your intent is probably not right. And here's like, there's plenty of reasons that you can be stated why, but that's just not like, that's not a topic that they'll even like entertain or listen to or care about whatsoever. And that's a little frustrating.
Yeah. And so when that's what the problem I have no particular desire to participate in that process from that sure. perspective. It's just like, what am I going to say? Like, I disagree. Have right. a nice day. Right. Like, I can't give feedback on things when I disagree with functionally what they're trying to do.
Right. True that.
Especially the really weak, I guess I could feedback like the 12 inch kill box when a scenario has been removed as a win condition and you want assassinations to become more prevalent. A 12 inch kill box is nowhere near enough.
24,
15,
24 inch kill box.
You better be in that,
be on the center line.
Basically, we should all be playing hardcore, like the old hardcore scenario, where it's just that like 12 inch box in the middle that you have to pack your whole army into, because that seems like what we're moving towards as far as the intent, the way the intent reads.
Yeah,
yeah. If they don't want scenario to be, that's a disappointing statement that they don't want scenario to really be a way to win the game. I mean, it's okay. I don't want. There's a difference between, like, you can have a scenario where somebody cannot win it in two turns, but still win the game on scenario. Like, there's not, yes. like, a one or the other. And
because some of the most interesting games that I can recall are where the scenario was another method of the rubber band mechanic. And we've talked about how assassination is always a possibility of a rubber band mechanic. You can right. always make a mistake and lose on assassination. That's how I lost my game last Wednesday. I was just like, my cricket was knocking down warp wolves right and left. I was shooting him to death with Stormfall archers, and it was hilarious. Ha 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 ha. And then my caster just got shot to death. And I was like, oops, I made a mistake. And I lost the game that I had easily won, and I didn't need to give away in any mechanic, but my opponent was always looking for the way to win. And I used to be able to do that, or I used to do that frequently on scenario, where I'd be like, I'm falling behind in this game. And you had to identify it pretty early. And we've talked about that too, like, when to identify to change plans. I'd be like, after one turn of pitched combat, I'd be like, this isn't going to go well, need to change plans. And I would risk my caster by rushing them up to a domination point, which is something else they've taken out. You don't ever need to risk your caster as long as you've built a balanced list that is capable of controlling zones without them. I guess except for flags, but I haven't seen any particularly relevant flags. So you'd rush your caster to a domination point and try to brick up to protect them. And then your opponent had to play a whole new game where if you were in a position, it's like, I destroyed your objective. I was like miraculously able to clear a zone and I'm on a domination point. Like, I now only need to dominate one or two more times to win this game. And the impetus has switched from me to somehow figure out a brand new way for my army to beat yours, when the math says that wasn't going to happen. It has changed from me having to do basically the impossible to my opponent having to now stop me from being able to dominate.
Yeah.
And that was like a clever, it was a cool reversal mechanic that existed that is gone. And it, that just, I don't care for that either.
No, yeah, I don't disagree with you about that.
Sorry, I'm just reading about Morgul 2. 3.
Oh, did they release his rules?
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah. He was in the same thing as the
Oh, there's so much stuff. We'll just, we have no time to talk about all this.
Let's just talk about Morgul 3, and then that's it.
Is he in War Room?
Yeah. Yeah, he's in War Room. He's effing sweet.
He is. I love
he's
that.
Basically Strakoff 2, only good.
And
interesting.
So
the most interesting. Yeah,
the most interesting caster in the world.
So Nigel's ridiculous. And then also from.
And correct.
From a me, like, in a vacuum perspective, I'm really glad that he's Morgul and his escorts, but I also really wish he wasn't Morgul and his escorts
because
it's
just
because the pimp.
Yeah.
It's perfect.
Like,
that can't have been hard to catch.
Yeah. It's just like.
It's intentional.
No, it's totally intentional. Yeah. So, like.
Instead of Dominar, you should have just been Pimp Morgul and escorts.
Yeah,
like, straight up.
Yeah.
Just upgrade Morgul.
As a group of guys, what I'm saying is, like, as a group of guys, regardless of what he was called, we were going to call him Morgul and his escorts around here, but then they actually called him Morgul and his escorts, and that makes me sad.
Or they should have named him Big Pimpin' Morgul and escorts.
Right. Ooh. Or that. Yeah. They should have just gone all the way.
Yeah.
Ooh, they have blind fans. Too.
Yeah,
that's
no,
nice.
He's well. He doesn't have a blind fan anymore. He gave them away.
Instead, he has a spell that blinds a unit.
So, like, God, he's so fantastic. Like, also, cool. Keith, we finally did it. It's Revelations. They finally printed Occultation on a caster that already inherently has stealth. We finally got there.
We finally figured it out.
It only took 12 years.
There is now one caster with Occultation that will cast Occultation not on themselves.
Yeah, it's brilliant. You have no idea. I literally, like, messaged, like, I was just like, it happened! It finally happened! I was so ecstatic. It's just like, oh, God dang it. No, that blind spell is freaking sweet.
Yep. Also, as a note, the blind spell is not an upkeep, which means that Pillow Pants can cast it.
Yeah. And if I'm playing him, he just has decap, which is great.
So this is basically Knight's Reflection is the closest to ever reprinting Sorcia's spell that they've ever.
Yep, exactly.
Yeah, probably.
Oh, Freezing Grip?
Yeah. It's essentially Freezing Grip. Essentially.
And Pillow Pants can cast it.
And
like, holy crap.
Pillow Pants can cast it. Yep.
Yep. Also, I was talking about, like, casting it, and I was like, can you come up here, bro? I'll just murder you. And I was like, he's got reposition 3, stealth, the spell's range 8, and you can just bring a shaman.
If you cast that spell and you're on the table, I will kill you.
Like, physically jump across and
murder. No, I'm just saying, you can't hide from a Grolar. He's coming to get you. No. Unless you blind the Grolar, which you're not gonna, because he's coming from 21 inches away.
He's coming.
GG, good luck.
But yeah, it's actually, like, range 10, because, like, shamans are just inherently good for their points because they have, like, a sweet gun. They bring a lot of utility. They bring, like, they're just fantastic.
Oh, he went up to Fury 6. Good for him.
Yeah, also that. So you could technically cast 3 of those a turn.
You can. You're unlikely.
Yeah,
to.
It doesn't seem likely.
Probably going to get off 2, and I feel like 2 is enough.
Yeah.
Well, yeah.
2 for every turn forever.
Well, until they kill Pillow Pants, which will happen after he casts it the first time, but that's fine.
Right.
Yeah.
Not if he's got stealth, yo.
From
Occultation. That might be legit. That might actually be super legit. Right? If you had a solo that literally walk around and just blinded a freaking unit every turn and had
like one of the most killable guys by blast damage. Let's put stealth on him.
No, he gains souls and goes to arm like.
He can also take a shaman too, right? So it's actually range 10.
Yeah, that's what
I'm
saying.
Yeah, Pillow Pants is like armor 17 almost all the time. You're not going
to
blast.
Oh, he's the first one to get bombarded. You won't have souls when I get to.
Based on the games in which I've played against Nigel, yes, he will blast damage him.
Yeah.
Oh, look at that feat. He's got a major upgrade over most lazy feats. Instead of just 2
abilities.
He's got 3.
Yeah. And it's actually, I mean, Acrobatics, Parry, and Overtake is a pretty useful set of abilities to give to.
Yeah
it's not bad.
My God, someone might play Annihilators again.
I mean,
gross.
They might.
They might.
And it's nice. I like it that it's beginning their activation. So it's not exactly a pulse, but as far as the models that are going with it are concerned, it is, because they activate, get it, and then they can get out and still keep it.
Is it only warrior models?
Yes. It is.
Oh, that would be so hilarious if it, gives, if it gave Adamantrix acrobatics.
Or just, they're not.
Turtle time!
I don't think they're going to give Molek Karn acrobatics overtaken parry.
Mm.
that seems like the apocalypse.
Yeah. I mean, they've done that, so.
I mean, he used to have overtaken parry.
I mean, that feels right.
And like, then they were like, nope, he can't have that. And I mean, like, it was, give it back and acrobatics, too.
Excuse me. Beat back and immunity to freed strikes. Right. But it was the same thing.
At its very worst, like, that feat is at least a very interesting assassination enabler. Because, like, they themselves with Mirage threat 13 inches just to, like, start. And then
it also,
he can kind of just, like, chain to their casters.
Well, he already has acrobatics and parry.
Right, it's the overtake, so you can, like, stab a guy.
Oh, okay. I was trying to figure out why he lost so much of his melee potential, but they just made it weird.
Yeah, it's awesome. His melee potential is gross.
With the hidden blade critical decap.
Yep.
It's probably worse than Weapon Master almost all the time, but...
He's PAL 13 base, too. Magic Blessed.
It's not. If Nigel takes up Scorn, it won't be worse. Because he'll just decap.
I'll just decap, exactly. If I'm playing him, it's just like, oh, just, double damage there, double damage
You're
there.
Like, crit decap.
Yeah. Yeah.
I'm going to jail, rolling so many doubles.
7, 9, 12, 13. So it's like a 13-inch personal threat.
Yeah.
Which is okay.
I mean, it's not bad. It's just... And I mean, with stealth and steady at def 16... Like, you can pretty safely, against most people, be up there relatively far.
I mean, the thing I really like about his feat is that it actually works pretty nicely with the fact that he has Knight's Reflection, right? Like, not even on an assassination run, because it lets you, you're like, ah, this front unit that I can reach with Knight's Reflection and be safe, like, that's not doing anything next turn. And then I pop my feet, and then my warrior models go over yours and dig deep into the stuff behind your front screen unit. And so... It lets you dig deep and neuter the stuff that you, like, ignore. Like, that's a pretty nice combination of abilities.
Mm-hmm.
Possibly. I'm just not thinking of,
I mean,
like, what models in Scorn I want to do that with.
Maybe Swordsman and Ferox.
They can jump already.
Swordsman.
Yeah, but charging is better, because then you get to actually use Brutal Charge for once.
But you don't get to use your Kitty Leap.
So make an impact attack.
Swordsman would be pretty good. Overtake with the, I mean, that was my first, because overtake with their two attack base attacks.
Possibly.
And I think they're...
I guess they've got Paros, Scorn Swell now, whatever they're calling it.
They do.
Scorn Swell.
Yep.
Just getting real big.
Yeah, Swordsmen are pretty good now, I think.
Yeah. All right. Yeah, he looks okay.
Yeah.
It's just weird. I mean, he brings a lot of anti-infantry thing in the faction that hits, like, trucks, so...
I don't understand why his feat's called Deathwind and not Big Pimpin'.
Because mistakes, or just it's just
hard out here.
It's just shut up, baby. I know it. Like that's the name of the feat, or that's the descriptor.
Where's my money?
Where's my money?
Where's my money? I'll pop. Where's my money? Oh,
wonderful,
fantastic.
Yeah, yeah.
He actually
escorts.
What was the quote about Strakov? Because I feel like that's true about Morgul 3.
What's the quote?
The Josh quote about Strakov. Like, I think that.
Oh, I don't know. There's
the
no.
The most interesting, well designed.
The most, the coolest, like the raw, coolest, most well designed thematically and also for the tabletop Warcaster unit since the Haleys and on par with it.
Are you talking about Morgul 3 now?
I was talking about Strakov.
Oh. But now.
I still think Strakov is a little cooler. But yeah. They did a really
Strakow's
nice.
Way cooler.
They did a really nice job with Morgul and the escorts.
Strakow's way junkier though. Yeah. He's like garbage to play.
That's because you keep playing him like garbage.
He's just garbage. There's no solving it.
You're like, man, I can be like assassinated with ranged attacks, so I'll reposition 5 this turn instead of be stealth.
What? He was fine. I was like, I'd find the forest. He just doesn't do anything. Doesn't swap spells.
Like, he's just like Nigel's. Like, man, he's so bad. It sucks that this ARM 22 Warjack has been in this zone and weathered like 1,000 attacks and just keeps like holding on to it forever and ever. Because I can totally do that with so many other casters. Put up Inviolable Resolve on my ARM
22. That same ARM 22 Jack would have just killed somebody's caster like 4 turns earlier, though.
If it was Strakov 1.
Yeah, exactly. If it was Strakov 1, the game would already be over because it'd be a Grolar and it'd be like killing their caster.
Strakov 1 is boring. Strakov 1 is the Cray of Kador.
You Cray.
Mm-hmm.
He's the Mark II Cray of
games. I don't know. If whatever you're saying means he's super awesome and wins a lot of games, then it's yes, not. He's 100%
that is what he's saying.
Yeah.
That is a fact.
What I'm saying is he's a one-trick pony, which is rocket a jack across the table.
Yeah, it's a pretty awesome trick. It's like David Blaine times David Copperfield. Yeah.
Mother,
just like, I can't tell what's going on. It's like Penn and Teller times whatever. Like, it's just amazing.
Yeah, in our recent game, Strakov and his two commandos killed, like, I don't know, they probably killed 16-ish points of my army on their own. He's just like, at the end of the game, he's like, he does, like, nothing. These AP weapons are so garbage. I'm just like, we're born hating him, so just refuse.
They literally did the entire work of my entire army, and, like, nothing else did anything. Because they didn't contribute, like, they don't help the army contribute, so they have to just do it all themselves. Like, I guess we're just going to, like, walk into this forest, shoot and back up five every turn.
That was Mark II Kane 2, and he was the best caster.
Oh, yeah, but they're not Kane 2. This is no Kane 2. This is no John F. Kennedy.
He's Kane too, but he doesn't do as much offensive output, but he does make it so his stuff doesn't die and gets across the table and deals damage. So
I don't know. I still say that Last Stand's a garbage spell. They need to put him on CID so that we can start getting Battle Lust in there.
Oh, yeah. I came in and failed to kill his heavy by, like, two. And so it was just like, we'll repair its arm and last stand it and scrap your full heavy with my guy that's basically dead. I was just like,
oh, that sounds terrible.
Yeah.
That was pretty terrible.
It was, yeah. I was just like,
that
I hate you.
And actually, now that I think about it, that's exactly the use that you want for last stand. Because I was mostly on board with your way of thinking about it, Nigel. I was like, yeah, last stand is basically just something your opponent has to respect for assassinations. But man, almost dead warjacks are great targets for last stand.
Sure are. He did it twice in that game.
I believe Nigel quoted from earlier this episode that a lot of times people just, you know, don't quite get there on Kador heavies.
Yep.
So
also true.
Yeah, but then you
hoist
don't have
it
to
on your own petard, sir.
We don't have to, like, cast a dumb spell to, like, get them there. Like, you came up a little short. How about I help you? I killed my own guy.
Especially when that Kador heavy had Inviolable Resolve on it and was armed 22, then, like, even more frequently they don't quite get there on that heavy. Then you just swap that off for Last Stand and scrap whatever came in.
I think Last Stand's best just used on his two pals. So you cast Last Stand on the unit and then have them all assault, and then just have Strakov not quite get there so he doesn't kill himself. Then have his two pals just die so that he's not moored down by these idiots that don't do anything.
So, yeah, Nigel has a completely unreasonable viewpoint on Strakov 2. It's really weird. Like, every time, he's like, I think this could have been better with another caster. And I'm like, literally everything cool that happened that game was because you were playing Strakov 2.
No. Vlad 2 would have, like, housed stuff and been sweet and, like,
Yep. So, yeah, Morgul 3, pretty cool.
Pretty pimp. Pimpin'.
Where my money?
All right. Podcast?
Yeah, it's probably a cast.
I think so. With only the four of us.
Yep.
Just the four of us.
The four of us. We can make it if you try.
I guess I'll just build a real, like, red list and then come back next week and be like, all the new models are garbage.
Well, they'll be in CID by then, so.
Yeah. Okay.
No one's buying Gershield.
Yeah. They're just going to call up Jay. How many have been pre-sold? And he'll be like, it's a little low. CID time.
It came down from corporate. We expect 50% of armies and tournaments to have Gershield.
Yep.
I'm just going to call him Gorshade forever.
Yeah. That's fine.
Yeah. And probably actually just play the Crix model as the rep model.
Perfect. All right. Well, thanks for listening. This has been Josh.
Rob.
Nigel.
And Keith. Good day.
Boop.